Good evening. Welcome to Tuesday night Bible study of the book of James. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look to God in prayer before we continue. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for seeing us through another day, a day of blessing, a day where we can be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, O God, we know that we are far from perfect, and there had been moments throughout this day where we have stumbled, we have sinned against Thee. Forgive us. Cleanse us and wash us, O Lord, of all the sins that we have committed against You, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and also the pride of life. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy mercies in dealing with each and every one of us, and for Thy patience and long-suffering. For we know that if not for Your grace and Your mercies in our lives, we would all be consumed. We pray, Father, that tonight, as we continue to study the book of James, may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher to instruct us as we enter into a new topic on materialism. Those who have and those who do not have. What exactly is the right attitude that we must have before Thee that is pleasing in Thy sight? We pray, Lord, for Thy Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to grant us illumination and understanding, that we may once more tonight behold wonderful truths out of Thy holy word. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Chapter 5 to the end will be on a new theme, materialism. This body of ours is made out of the material of this world, which implies that this body would depend upon the things that come out of this world to survive. We need the world's food and water. We need the resources of this world to build our homes in order to keep us safe from the elements. In countries where you have four seasons, you need shade because of the summer heat. You need protection, warmth from the winter cold. We need also the resources to make for ourselves garments, clothing to put on, to keep us from being shamed, and also to keep us warm and comfortable. And so we need the things of this world, apparently, as this body is made out of the same material, dust of the ground, and based upon the same dust of the ground, this world is what we look to for our daily needs. The devil knows this, and so the devil will take advantage of us and use this world to lull the world into a false sense of happiness, a false sense of success. And so the theme song that the devil had composed and the world had been singing and dancing to the tune throughout the millenniums is, measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess. The more you have, the more successful you are in your own eyes and in the eyes of the world, a world that he controls. Is this not the theme song of our world today in the 21st century? Year after year, Forbes would come out with a list of the richest people on earth. And why did he do that? Why does Forbes do that? Well, because there is interest. Nobody would want to do something that lacks interest. And so it must be an interest that will not go away, because year after year, the new list would come out. And those who are climbing this very, very rich golden, diamond, encrusted ladder, they long to have their name included in that list in one way or another. If he puts in 1,000, you may want to be that 1,000 or the 999. And then if he has only 100, then you want to be the 100th or the 99th. Striving upward and upward and upward until you arrive. Now, this is the theme song of the devil that has led millions, if not billions, throughout the ages into a fiery lake of eternal damnation and torment. But what about believers? Are we any wiser? The book of James, remember, was written to address the Jews who have scattered. These were Jewish believers. Some of them have scattered because they held on to their faith and they were persecuted. And so they lost homes. They may have to leave in a hurry with their loved ones, with practically nothing other than what they could carry on their shoulders and what they have on. And so if you were very rich before salvation, after salvation, you have to make a very important, life-changing choice. You stay on, enjoy your wealth, the persecutors will come, and you will be demanded to make a choice, your life or Christ. And so they would flee, they would run. And if your wealth is rooted in your property, in your homes, then you will be leaving your wealth behind and you will be running, hiding like a poor fugitive with your loved ones. This was the way of Christianity in the first, second, and third century. The turn of the fourth century, Christianity soon became a state religion because of Constantine, the first king, who turned a persecuted Christianity into a respectable, dignified Christianity. That was the beginning of the dilution of the Christian faith. But let's come back to James chapter 5. So if the Jews, who were once rich before salvation, had to flee their homes in order to save themselves because they wanted to hold on to Christ, then what about these people who were rich? Could we therefore conclude and assume that they were forced to choose wealth or Christ? And they probably chose their wealth. And so they held on to their wealth. And that's where we have the strong injunction from what verse 1 of chapter 5 tells us. Let's look at the verses from verse 1 to verse 6. Our focus tonight will be on verse 3. God willing, next Lord's Day, we shall look at verses 4 to 6. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. And so who are these rich people? Now we know from scripture that in the time of the kings, David was very rich, of course, but he was the king. There was no persecution, Christ, or your wealth. James wrote this epistle in a very different context. Rome was still the superpower. The Sanhedrin council members were still given some degree of authority to arrest and to capture any Jew who accepted Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, as the Messiah, the Christ. Does not matter whether you are rich or poor, as long as they find out that you are a Christian Jew, you face the wrath of the Sanhedrin Council. And probably if you are wealthy, they will take advantage of your faith to take away your wealth, probably for themselves. That would not be surprising. And so therefore, these rich Jews, perhaps they once upon a time considered themselves as believers, but they would rather hold on to their wealth and change their mind regarding Christ. Now, if this is true, perhaps it might be true because of how James would approach this entire rebuke. You might think that, well, it does not involve me. I did not have to give up my wealth. I am still a Christian. And so therefore, maybe let us study this from a detached position, from a third-person position rather than a first-person position. Maybe it is good for my friend or for someone that I know. I hope that is not going to be our approach tonight, because I believe some of those in the time of James may think like us, that it's not me, it's okay, it's for somebody else. But when you look at the content of these verses, you realize that James might very well be speaking to us tonight. And so he says, go to now, come now, let me reason with you. Listen to me. Stop your thinking, stop your reasoning, stop whatever you're doing, and focus on what I'm about to share with you. And he singled out the rich man. To the poor, he will focus on them from verse 7 onwards. But verse 1, he will focus on the rich. Now, you and I may not think that we are rich in Singapore. Well, since I'm not rich, therefore, I'm okay. It's not whether you perceive yourself as rich or not rich. Of course, if you want to compare yourself with the richest man on earth, we are all poor. You must realize and understand that the word rich is pretty relative. In Kenya, it is said that the people in Kenya survive on $1 a day. Of course, not every single one of them. There are a very few percentage in Kenya who would be considered as very, very rich. But the average majority of the Kenyans, compared to them, almost everyone in Singapore would be considered as better off than them. And so would therefore we consider ourselves as rich? Let's define the word rich from a simple perspective. As long as you have some degree of possessions, you would be considered rich, because most of the people in those days live and survive on a day-to-day wage. They do not have savings. And so let's say a rich person is a person who has savings, regardless of the amount. As long as you have some savings, you are considered rich, because you have no problem having food on the table for at least a week, right? I'm sure our bank account is rich enough to have enough meals for one whole week without any worry for the next 7 days from now onwards, right? How much does it require a person to live a day in Singapore? Let's say, conservatively, 20 bucks, more than enough, right? A breakfast, lunch, dinner, 20 bucks. You may even have some spare change for tea, morning tea or afternoon tea, right? You go to the hawker center, Ya Kun, 2.50, two eggs, bread, and a nice cup of hot coffee, $3. So 20 would be more than enough. So times 7, $140. I'm sure most of us would have $140 in our bank account. And so therefore, if we have enough for 7 days, compared to the people in the time of the apostles, like James or Jesus, it would be a daily wage. If they do not find work today, they have no money to bring home for tomorrow. No food on the table for tomorrow. They have to tell their family, their children. Daddy was not picked. As daddy waited in the marketplace, the landlord came. He picked our neighbors to our right and to our left. But daddy was missed out. Sorry. We have to learn to fast tomorrow. We do not have money. Maybe tomorrow morning, daddy will go back to the marketplace and wait and see whether we will have. And so he will work till 5, 6 p.m. before the sunset. And what would the family, the wife and the children at home do? They have no food. And so if he gets selected, at the end of the day, he will get his wage. And then with that money, they will have food for tomorrow. And hopefully in the morning, he will go to work. If he's chosen, then whatever he brought back yesterday, the wife would use it to feed the children while he would be at work the following day. That was their pattern. That was their way of life. And so, compared to that, I believe the rich man here would be every single one of us. And so James' injunction is, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Now the title is, your riches are corrupted. Why? Verse 1 tells us the reason is, first reason, the rich men are corrupt. That's why the riches of the rich man is corrupt. Right? Because, are corrupt. Because the man who possess it is corrupt. You see, wealth, material things, they are inanimate. They are dead things. They are, in that sense, just a thing. It has no willpower. It has no ability to go or to carry itself and move from point A to point B. It's the people who handle the riches, the people who own the riches, the people who dispense the riches. That is the reason. The thing in itself is not sinful. It's how you got it, how you use it, and your heart condition when you possess it. That's the key. And so in verse 1 is the problem, first and foremost. And so riches are corrupted. First, look at the man. And therefore, tonight, let's look at ourselves, including young people. You may not have a job, but I believe your parents have given you a sizable daily pocket money. And if you are like me, we have saved our children's Chinese New Year ang pao for them. So we have opened an account for them since they were very young. So whatever ang pao money they collected year after year, we put into the account for them. And I believe many of you also have such an account because of your parents. And therefore, young people, if you have more than $140 in your savings, in your piggy bank, whatever it is, you would also be classified as rich. And therefore, your attitude, it's going to be the first determining factor whether your riches are corrupted or not. So the thing is, are you corrupt? Do you have a problem in your heart? Now, we know the only people who are not corrupted are believers, because we are all born corrupted, depraved, where the three sins, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life controlled us. That was our life before salvation. And therefore, if you think and believe that you are not corrupted because you are a Christian, very good. Then therefore, your riches should not be corrupted, because you are not corrupt. But if you are, weep and howl, because what follows very soon will be miseries. The word misery, that means wretchedness. You mean possessions, wealth, if that's what I have and that occupies my mind and I'm driven by more and more materialism, misery will soon follow and it will pounce on me, come upon me. That's what it means. Whether you like it or not, it's going to come and it's going to catch up to you. It's like some runner running after you. And now you're trying to run ahead of the runner. And that runner, the moment he gets you, he's going to hurt you. And so you keep on running ahead, but the runner keeps on running faster and faster. And then as you realize with age, you begin to slow down. And then this runner is not slowing down. He is catching up. He is narrowing the gap. And then very soon, there is no more gap. And then he's going to pounce on you. And by that time, you are probably in ICU. And what do you have to show at the end of your life? Thinking that you are okay. You surround yourself with the good life. A life of luxury. A life where you can buy whatever your taste bud desires. A life whereby all your longings are now experienced, no longer a longing. It is a memory because you have tasted it and it had been good. But now your body is sickly, pain coursing through your whole body. You could hardly think clearly. You could hardly lift up your hand. You can't even get out of bed without assistance. But you have a very nice house. You have a very expensive mattress and a beautiful large master bedroom to lie in. And then you have more money in your bank to live another 10 lifetime. But all you can think of is, I am miserable. I am wretched. What is the point of having so much material things when this body of mine could not even get up of bed without assistance? And then you realize to your horror what I am going to do when I die. Will there be a God? Where will I end up when I die? Isn't this the fear? Isn't this the wretchedness that will catch up to everyone who is very rich and all he thinks about is riches and all he cares about is more wealth, more and more materialism. And that is why the Bible describes him as corrupt. Because this is a corruption that he was not even aware of until it is too late. And that's why this is urgent. And that's why James began by saying, go to now. Stop what you are doing. Listen to what I am telling you, my fellow Jews. Listen. I have a message for you. Will you stop listening to the voice of the God of this world for a moment and listen to some wisdom and counsel that may change your life in the right direction for good? That may change your destiny from hell to heaven, from a place of great pain and torment and gnashing of teeth to a place of great joy, purity, love, and peace and tranquility? Will you slow down and listen to what the Lord has to say to you tonight? Stop thinking about your next project. Stop thinking about your next million. Stop thinking about buying the next house. Stop thinking about any more materialism. And take 10 steps back and listen to what God has to share with you tonight concerning materialism, riches, your wealth. Would you? Would you slow down and listen? And have an honest, good evaluation of where you stand before God, not before me. Before God, I'm not going to be your judge. I will too will be judged by Christ, just as you will be judged by Christ, whether you like it or not. So we have to be ready. And so the riches of a corrupt person will be considered as corrupt. That's why verse 1 says, weep and howl. Cry. Stop laughing. Stop rejoicing. There's nothing to rejoice, nothing to enjoy. You should realize the misery that you are in. You are only rich outwardly, but you are not rich inwardly. And because of that, you must weep and mourn and find a solution to the state and condition that you are in, because you are going to be wretched. You are going to be miserable because your miseries will catch up to you. You are young right now. You may be healthy right now. And so you think that this youthful zeal and strength and energy is going to be with you forever. You look around you. You are in your 30s and 40s. And some of you might even be in your 20s. And so you think that this youthful zeal and health and strength of body will continue. Wake up. Look around you. There is this gentleman in our area where I live, in Bukit Batok. We have been living here for maybe about just over 10 years. More. 10 years. 10, 15 years. When I first came here, this gentleman used to play golf regularly. And so we will chat in the lift, same block. Then we will talk. So how was your game? Then he will tell me about his score, tell me about his handicap. And then a few years ago, he told me that he has played his golf for the last time. I say, what happened? Something is not right with my knee. I could not play golf anymore. So I need to go for surgery, knee replacement or whatever it is. I said, well, I hope everything will go well, I shared with him. When I met him soon after that, he was walking with a walking stick. And he could not even walk properly. Literally, he could not walk properly. Something was not right after the surgery. He could not walk properly. Literally, he could not walk properly. Like a normal person standing upright and walk. He had to use a walking stick in order to steady himself. And then he walks like a person who's stumbling forward. And so he says, I need to exercise. Hopefully, I will improve. Now, I see him in a wheelchair. The walking stick was not good enough to steady him. Once in a while, I would see him with a wheelchair in front of him. And then he tried to stand up and try to walk now with a wheelchair like a walking frame to steady himself, pushing the wheelchair like a person pushing a pram. He was playing golf, enjoying his game 3-4 times a week. And then now, do not think that just because you're young, strong, and healthy today, you're going to be young, strong, and healthy forever. That's why, while you're still young, strong, and healthy, you weep now. You howl, you shriek within your soul before God now. Because if you do not, and you think that you are heading in the right direction in the pursuit of materialism, you will weep and howl in days to come, in years to come. But this time, it will be in misery, Right now, you weep and howl before the Lord, recognizing, realizing that materialism had been my God, my idol, all this while, pretending to be a Christian in name, but not so much a Christian in heart and in soul. Because materialism is all you think about the moment you wake up to the day you go to sleep, to the hour you go to sleep. Isn't that true? You go to work, you forget about Christ, you forget about holiness, you forget about godliness, and all you think about is how to make the extra $10,000, the extra million, whatever it is, the extra few million. And in this period of pandemic, it's even more stressful. It is even more consuming. It's even more frightening. Weep and howl now. Because if you do not do so and weep before God for the many, many sins that you have committed against Him, you're going to weep and howl when miseries come. And it will come. This is the first reason why your riches are corrupt, because you are corrupt. Second reason, please note, the riches are worthless. Your riches are corrupted, and the word corrupted is what we call hapax legomena. That means the only occurrence in the entire New Testament. James had to use a word that had never been used before in the whole New Testament to drive home his point. It means it is something that in itself rotten, putrefy. It will definitely perish. It's like something is really rotten inherent. The rottenness is really inherent in it. He called it the riches. All the things that the world, the devil offers you that comes out of the ground, it has a DNA built into it that is rotten. It will decay. Second law of thermodynamics. Everything that is brand new will soon decay. It's that notion. It's that idea. And you and I know that. You look at your brand new handphone, how pristine the condition it was when you first received it out of that box. You gingerly open it, but now 6 months, 12 months, 18 months later, you look at the same product. It has really decayed. It has really turned into something that is very, very undesirable, and you can't wait for the new phone to come. When your 21-month contract is up, is due, you're counting the number of days where you can get rid of it and replace it. When once upon a time, it was pristine. You cherish it. You look at it with glassy, happy eyes, mesmerized by this beautiful, wonderful, brand new gadget. Your car is the same. Your home, everything that we owned, your clothes, your pants, your computer, everything. There is this built-in DNA that will cause it to decay. That's the idea. Your riches are corrupted in itself. And therefore, they are basically literally worthless. And look at your garments. In those days, they do not have all these protection where you can get rid of moth. Being moth-eaten was a very common experience. They don't have all these little things that you can buy to get rid of moth. They will come. Only the rich people can have a cupboard, a closet design in their homes. If you're a poor person, daily wage, where are you going to find a closet full of garments? In today's design of houses and condominiums and buildings, master bedroom is usually empty, and then you want to furnish it, you want to move in, and what's the first thing you do? Build cupboards. Why? For what? For our many, many pieces of garments, right? And some even have a walk-in wardrobe. Whoa, that's something that a poor person can't even imagine. Walk-in wardrobe? We don't even have a wardrobe. Don't talk about walk-in wardrobe. It means a room devoted just for your garments. That's what it means by a walk-in wardrobe. Whereas a cupboard, the cupboard share the space with whatever room that it is built into. So it's a bedroom. So the cupboard share the space with the people living, sleeping in the bedroom. But a walk-in wardrobe, nobody sleeps in the walk-in wardrobe. It is a room for your clothes. Moth-eaten, they will decay in very quick time, no matter how expensive, no matter how smooth and how good it feels brand new. It will decay. And so the second reason why our riches are corrupted, because they are in itself worthless. Do you realize that? So why do I have to spend my time and my energy, which are very limited, in the pursuit of worthless riches? That's the ploy of the devil. That's what the devil had been blinding the minds of the people of the world who reject the gospel. But you claim you have not rejected the gospel. You claim you have accepted the gospel. You claim you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. That if that is true, then why are you pursuing and why are you motivated by riches? It does not gel. There is a contradiction. On the one hand, you say that you have embraced the gospel. You have not rejected the gospel. You have truly accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says those who continue to pursue after materialism, their minds have been blinded by the God of this world, so that they will not accept the gospel. They will only listen to the song of the devil. Measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess. But if you say that you are a believer, you have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, then you would know that the riches of the world are worthless. They have a DNA that in itself is corrupt. Even you do nothing to it, it will decay and it will lose its quality and its value. On its own, without you doing anything. Just buy it, put it by itself, and you can just simply see it decay before your very eyes. You know that. We are surrounded by things that are like that. And yet, why are our eyes not open? Why are our minds still in darkness? Why can't we penetrate into this veil that the devil has placed into our minds when we were unbelievers? But if you are a child of God, then you would know that the riches of the world that the devil offers, they are worthless. And you are not the rich man described in verse 1. Corrupt. Because you say you're born again. Then do not wake up every morning and all you can think about is making more money, your job. Students, your study. First thing you wake up should be your Lord and your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a transformation, a change in the heart of everyone who is born again. There is the Holy Spirit who indwells in you, who will prompt you. The Bible describes his prompting as his still, small voice. It's more than just your conscience. It is the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, speaking to you. And if you are a child of God, you will hear him very loudly, even though he may be speaking softly. And that voice will ring in your ear. And when you wake up, the first person that you think about is the Lord Jesus Christ. The last person before you close your eyes and enter into a deep sleep is the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the first person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you will open the scriptures and you will read the scriptures and you will pray and you will commune with your Lord. When you read the scripture, he speaks to you. When you pray, you speak to your Heavenly Father through Christ. Is that your experience daily? Or the first thing you do when you wake up is how to solve that problem? How to get that contract, how to win that project, how to make more money. Do you not know that tonight the Lord is asking you, take a step back. Go to now. Stop what you're doing. Will you listen to what your God is telling you? If you're truly born again, then it is your Heavenly Father telling you, my child, that is not the way to live. That is the life of a rich man who is corrupt. And therefore, the riches that he possesses are also corrupt because of the way that he handles it and the way that he obtained it. But if you are truly born again, Jesus says to you, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. For those who have truly accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior are they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. So which abundance best describe you? Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, or the abundance of the things which you possess? Which? Because your answer, if it is true, will determine whether your riches are corrupted or not. Because riches, they do not just simply come into your life. And if you think that they just simply come into your life and you are the owner and you are in control, verse 3 tells us otherwise. Riches are corrupted. First, verse 1, rich men are corrupt. Second, the riches are worthless. That's why they are corrupted. That is inherent in all the riches, the material riches of the world. That is inherent in it. Something that is putrefying. It is rotten. It will perish. And we are surrounded by this evidence day in and day out, if only we could see. And third, riches, perhaps maybe the worst, they are snares. When you keep on thinking of riches, more and more riches, please realize that something has already swapped over. You are no longer the owner of your riches. You are actually the slave, and the riches actually have become your master. Your gold and silver is cankered. Again, another hapax legomena, only occurrence, which basically means rusted. Now, gold and silver, they don't actually rust, but they do tarnish. The rust of them shall be a witness against you. You look at them, very pristine and very polished. But if you do not keep polishing it, look at your wedding ring, it will tarnish. Even gold and silver, supposed to be very precious metal, and they too have built into it the element, the DNA, that it will not last. You know that. They are basically a witness against you. How can that be a witness against you? Because all you think about and all you care about is the money. And once you have it, you know why it is against you, it's a testament against you, because you can't give it up. You can't give up your gold and your silver. It's too shiny, it's too attractive, it's too delightful. And once you possess it, it is nearly impossible to give it up. And shall eat your flesh as it were fire. It consumes you, is it not? You have heaped treasure together for the last days. That means you cannot get rid of it. Oh, you may think, I can get rid of it anytime. You sure? You sure you can get rid of it anytime? All your heirlooms, you pay thousands of dollars for thinking that if I have this diamond ruby, I have this or that from the jewelry shop, I will save it for my son, for my daughter, for my grandchildren or whatever as an heirloom, and it will only increase in value with the passage of time. But in your own heart of hearts, you still live in delusion, thinking that you are in control. You have never been in control for a long, long time. You have been a slave to your riches without even realizing it. And that kind of snare is the most deadly of all. You know what's a snare like, right? A trap. And for how long will you remain in that trap? Heap treasure together for the last days. The last days could be last days from God's perspective, the end of time. Last days could be your last days. But either way, it is still the end of time. The end of time for the earth from God's perspective. The end of time, not of the earth, of your life. But it will still be the last days. You know how hard and how impossible it is for a person who have tasted luxury to give up luxury? It is like a person holding on to something with an iron fist. There's nothing on earth that can pry his hand open. He just simply will not let it go. That's the problem with riches. That's why it's so deadly. This body of ours, once it tasted the luxurious world, it is very, very difficult to give it up unless it is by force. The last recession, many people have to give up. That's by force, not voluntarily. And it is said that many multimillionaires committed suicide because they were no longer millionaire at all. They became bankrupt because they were rich in asset, but not in cash. And so when their assets lost its value, the bank kept on calling them, return the money, return the money. They used their assets as a collateral, but the collateral is now worthless. They just simply ran away from their problem by killing themselves. Thinking that if I kill myself, my problem dies with me. But they die in sin. The fiery lake awaits them. Foolish. That's why it is a snare. You can't give it up. Can you? Can you? Can you truly give up your riches? If you're truly born again, you have already done so. If you are not truly born again, you think you can? Are you sure? Are you sure you can? Let's be honest. Let's take a test. Okay, let's take a test. A test given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And behold, one came and said unto Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Okay, so let's regard this person, one, who came. At the end of this episode, we know that he is a rich young man. So let's say instead of this rich young man, put our name there. Right, behold, you came and said to Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And then Jesus said to him, said to you, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Sounds good, right? You think you are good? Just like this rich young man. That's why he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking that the Lord will pat him on the back. You are a good, fine, rich young man. You will sure to enter heaven. Isn't that how we regard ourselves? And so, Jesus said that to him. And then he said to him, which commandment? Well, Jesus said, well, thou shalt do no murder. You don't think you're a murderer, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. You think you're fine too, right? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, very confidently, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Isn't that how we think of ourselves too? We are fine with God, we are fine with Christ. We are good. What lack I yet? What do I have lacking? I've done all these things since I was a young child, young boy. And then Jesus said unto us, unto you, if thou wilt be perfect, if thou wilt be complete in what you claim, right? You show forth your external conduct, obeying all these laws. All right, so complete it. What about your inside? All right, externally, good boy, good man. You did good. But what about inside, inwardly? Is it just as good as your outward? Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Will you? Will you let go? Or you think that you're already good, like this young man? I go to church. I obey the commandments. I honor my mom, my dad. I'm fine. Then Jesus says, be perfect, complete it. What about your inside? What about your inside? No man can love God and mammon. Either you choose to love the one and hate the other. No man can love both. You choose. Will you give it up? When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was very rich. That's why riches, they are snares. Only in Christ Jesus can any one of us have the strength of heart and soul and conviction to give it up. Will you have a different conclusion in this test compared to the young man? He walked away, still a rich young man, but not a rich young man with treasure in heaven, but only on earth. Riches are snares. Riches are worthless. The rich man is corrupt. That's why riches are corrupted, for these three reasons. What about your riches, your home, your bank account, all these material things in themselves, they are fine. We know that. But it is you, the owner, the possessor, that is the key. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight, O God. Help us to realize that as thy blood-bought children in Christ Jesus, we have everything. Everything that matters. And whatever that we have here on earth are only means that we can use for the glory of God and for the betterment of our spiritual well-being in the study of thy holy word, in our walk with thee in worship, in communion, in prayer. And therefore, help us to use the material things and not to allow the material things to use us and to own us. For we know that riches can ensnare us. For out of the dust of this ground, this earthen vessel of ours were made. And all the things that we consider as riches in the past also came out of this ground. Oh Lord, how desirable are the things of this ground to this earthen vessel. But in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And therefore, we no longer lust after the things of the world, but only the things of God that last for eternity. Help us, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation by making sure that the riches that once upon a time ensnared us are truly corrupted, and our eyes have been opened, and our lives have been transformed, and we no longer wake up day in and day out in the pursuit of materialism, but only after righteousness, for our hearts and our lives are now abundantly full of thy grace and thy righteousness, and we no longer measure ourselves by the abundance of what we possess. We thank thee, Father, for such a wonderful work of salvation that you have wrought in our hearts. Forgive us, O Lord, of our sins for the many times that we have strayed away and we have allowed materialism to creep back into our hearts. Help us during this difficult time of the pandemic to have our eyes and our heart opened and to return unto thee and to know that the riches that the God of this world offered us are all corrupted, and only men who are corrupt will delight to own them. And they are blind to the fact that these riches are worthless, and these riches have already become a snare unto them, but not to your children. Bless us, O Lord, with thy truth, and open our eyes that we might see and understand this truth are truly found in our hearts and in our lives, that we are delivered. And we are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what consumes our heart and our soul is a wonderful walk with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all things eternal. And we have turned our backs on all things temporal. Grant to us all the good night rest, and dismiss us with the blessings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless.